All right, so welcome to Bark, Skin, Tears, Story and Transformation. And I guess I'll start with, over the years, I think this is something many of us can identify with. I've had a thought, you know, I'll have a childhood memory that has really stuck with me for a long time, and I'll say, oh, I want to write that down. I want to make sure that's recorded. Or I'll have a night dream, you know, that really stuck with me, and I felt like it gave me instructions, or it was a dream that I could share with other people and it would have meaning. And I'll write that down and I'll keep track of it. Or I'd have a significant event would happen in the world or in my life, and I'd say, oh, I need to write that down. And I wouldn't. I just wouldn't. I often find it nearly impossible to sit down and write, especially to start. And what gets me to show up to write is when some group is expecting me or counting on me to do it, and then I can push myself through it. But to write a story that isn't for any group, there was no of that extra, I'm going to show up and have that motivation. And so in the very beginning of the pandemic, I got an invitation in May of 2020 from a woman named Cheryl, who is somebody that I loved, I knew well, I trusted. And she was inviting a group of people. And none of us know why she happened to send it to any one of us. There were about 10 of us in the original email saying, I'm going to start a storyteller group. The pandemic is here, and I've been thinking about what I'm called to do to get through the pandemic. And the answer was do a storytelling group. Now, Cheryl is an elder, an Indigenous elder from Alaska. And so I've known her for a long time, and I just felt yes in every part of me. And so that became the new way to think that maybe I would take the time, the discipline, the whatever it was to write anything. And I knew that there was, she didn't speak this in the invitation, but knowing Cheryl and knowing she's part of the group I study with Dina Metzger out in California, there's a lot of about honoring all beings and giving all beings a vote. Like, remember when we did What If Plants and Animals Could Vote? It's like giving all beings a voice, and not thinking that we're superior to them, and trying to do restorative writing, which means trying to repair things that have been broken, and trying to bring awareness to things that have disappeared in our knowledge, and trying to find where our own colonized views are so that we can face them and do something different with them. And just simple things like, instead of saying the Dorian noticed this, instead of saying the river, say river, or instead of saying the tree, say sycamore, say give beings other than humans actual names when we talk about them, and to accent more the we than the I. So I knew this would probably be woven into all of it. I didn't know how, and I accepted and actually look forward to a different way of doing this. And so we had our first session in May, and she spent the session, we were 10 of us, as I said, and spent the session teaching us about storytelling from her perspective. She is a storyteller herself and grew up in a storytelling culture because it was an Indigenous culture, and that's how they learned. And she grew up learning, hearing her grandmothers tell her stories in her language, and she didn't understand anything her grandmother was saying. But she somehow knew the stories anyway. So there's some mysteries in stories. So she said, you know, pick something that's your first story. And I was going to write about a duck, a white duck, when I was 6 or 7 years old. And I probably told the story here that was in a cage by the river, and I let her go. And I thought, well, how do I write the story? So I set aside 12 hours on a Sunday and said, I don't know what to do. I don't know how stories come. I don't know anything about it, but somehow I have 12 hours, no TV, no radio, no talking, no reading, nothing but just 12 hours. And I walked outside a lot, and it was spring. It was nice. And just kept thinking about the duck and keep thinking about walking to the duck, And all of a sudden, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the duck started talking to me. And I was so surprised. I said, the duck. And the duck started telling me the story of being the duck in the cage and then meeting me on the outside of the cage. And I was so surprised, and I almost ran home and pounded it out on the keyboard, because you can do it so much faster than writing. And it all just came out as one big chunk. And I was just amazed and intrigued. And so that was the beginning. And I went on to write the story of the man who made the cage. And then I went on to write the story in my father's voice and in my voice about how could he punish me for this, and in the voice of the people who put the duck in the cage. And each one of these was a surprise. I didn't invent them. I didn't ask for them. I didn't know there were more stories that went along with the white duck, and they just would come. But I had, the trick was to leave a lot of space and a lot of focus, and to drop automatic behaviors. Like I get in my car and I turn on my radio, or I turn on my book on CD, and I wouldn't do that. And I'd have a pad of paper on the seat next to me, and things would just come on the road, or they would come in the shower, or they would come when I took walks. And we do assignments, like she'd say, so this week, this was about 2 months ago, she said, I want you to just walk around outdoors and see what you notice that's helping you live in these times. What is that you notice that could be a medicine that makes you be able to be in these difficult, difficult times? And so what I found was dead peonies, peonies who are past their time and had bowed over. And so we were supposed to tell that story orally. We do some oral, we do some written. And the next time we did our stories and told the oral story, and she said, now, next time, write the story of something connected to what you told. And so we just listen. We just have to keep, it's a lot of listening involved, and listening to voices, and I don't know where they come from, but it came to me to do the story of the ants was coming to me. So I got, part of what I do is get on the computer and do a lot of research about some piece of nature, if that's what it's about. So I did a lot of research about ants, and the more research I did, and the more I focused on the peonies and the past peonies bowing over and the ants, then a story came. And in fact, the story has a lot of racism in it. But it comes out as how people feel about ants. And so I'm always surprised. I'll read the words after they come out, because they literally come out. And I read them afterwards and go, wow, there's something in here about racism and how we become fearful and then push away people or other beings that are different than we are. And so I always get those surprises. But over time, it's been 2.5 years now, a kind of channel has opened up in me that it's a door that was closed before, and it made writing a big effort. Like if the door is closed and things aren't streaming in, how can you put it down on paper? How can anything come? And so I now see it. I didn't know this in the beginning, but I now see it as to be in that group. And to, we meet every 3 or 4 weeks, 2, 3, 4 weeks, depending on when we can. We're down to four women plus Cheryl. So there's five of us. And we just bring a story each time. And the discipline of that doesn't feel like discipline, because I want to show up and be part of this circle and hearing their stories and sharing my stories. And sometimes the stories weave together and we haven't talked to each other in between. So we become in some ways like a group who has their period all at the same time, you know, just because they've been meeting together. So there's mystery in it. And so that keeps the channel open. And I suppose that's true of anything, whether it's ice skating or you, how do you keep the channel of what you're creating open so that something can keep coming through and keep being available. And I feel so grateful for it. Just so grateful. So the story I'm reading today, Barkskin Tears, came about because I told the story of redoing my deck here at Women's Explore. I told it when we were doing the patriarchal, inner patriarchy. And I told the story, and some of you might remember it, or and some of you might not have heard it. But the shortness of it is that I needed to replace our deck. And the way I went about doing it was ended up to be quite disturbing to me, but I had no clue that it was going to be disturbing. And so I told the story here as sort of a straight linear story that was fixed in a certain time, 2000 or whatever, whenever I did it, maybe 5 years ago, in Brookline on the deck. It was very particular and specific. And so then my question was, okay, if I'm going to write about this story, how does the story come? What makes it a story? What brings it into bigger time and space? What brings it into a deeper place? What brings it into something that could speak to other people who don't live in Brookline with a deck in 5 years ago? So how does it become part of a bigger web of consciousness? And that's the question I bring. And then I just sort of wait for it to download in. And so that became Barkskin Tears. So I'm going to read that to you now.